Psalms chapter number 69. Amen. If I ever felt like preaching a message, I feel like preaching this tonight. Amen. Psalms chapter number 69, verse number 1, then we're going to turn to Psalms chapter 6. The Bible says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me." You ever felt overwhelmed? "I am weary of my crying. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God."
Right. Come on, brother.
Amen. Now, he never said God was not there for him.
Right.
He never said that God had forsaken him.
But
he did say, "I am weary of my crying, and my throat is dried while," and "my eyes fail me rather, while I wait for my God." Psalms chapter 6. Just one verse. The psalmist is going to come along with some of the same words. I may not preach long tonight, but I've got to deliver my soul to you. "I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears." I want to preach from the sixth verse tonight, simply on a couch covered with tears. A couch covered with tears. Do we have anybody in this place that has been seeking God about a situation for some period of time and it just seems like the answer is never going to come? We had a young lady, and I guess this is really why I thought about it this morning, and the message has just rolled over in me. I've not even got time to write notes down. I got some verses, and I'm just gonna, you're getting it. You understand what I'm saying? We got a young lady in our church, and she was not raised in the house of God. Kathy's been coming for about a year or so now. She has no church background whatsoever. She didn't know about living holiness. She didn't know about a separated, sanctified life. But God saved her. God brought her out of the life of sin that she was living in. Nobody had to tell Kathy. Nobody had to encourage her. Nobody had to plead with her. But Kathy, God began to deal with her, and God turned her life around, and she don't get to come all the time because of circumstances of which I will cover in a few minutes. But her home life is not the best. Her husband is not saved, and Kathy will come, and when she comes as much as she can, she'll come 2 or 3 weeks and never miss a service, and when she misses, you'll ask her where you've been, and she'll begin to cry and say, my husband's threatened to whip me, and it's even got to the point where he has abused her, and he has beat her, and he has whipped her for coming to the house of God. She told me just the other night during revival, she said, "Brother Brian, I don't know what I'm going to do." and my husband's threatened to leave me. My husband's told me he's going to walk out on me. He told me it was either me or God. I don't know what to do. She said, but I'm still going to come to the house of God, and I'm still going to pray. I'm sure that in the back of Kathy's mind, she thought like, or she probably felt like, that God had forsaken her, that God had not seen her tears, that God had not heard her prayers. That's what the psalmist is really trying to say. My eyes, I'm tired of crying. I've cried so much that my throat is dry. Did you ever do that? You ever cried to where you just literally can't cry and your throat is so parched and dry that you gotta walk and get you some water to try to loosen it up, and then you cry some more. Your eyes fail you and you're so weary. And the psalmist said, I am so tired. I'm so weary. I've cried until I can't cry. Mine eyes are failing me. Oh, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know how to feel after Him. I just don't know how else to pray. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. I know this. I know that for a Sunday night, we ought to be on the top of the roof. I understand that. But can I just preach what I feel like God gave me in this place for a little while? I want to tell you something, friend. God has not forsaken you. And God has not turned His back on you. Amen. So, Kathy told us just the other night, I don't know what else I'm going to do. If you go one more night to that revival, you're not going to have a husband when you come home. Yeah. And on Friday night, that preacher, after her husband had already told her, that preacher began to preach. And that shy, backward girl that you wouldn't hear say a word if you come to our church and probably wouldn't know who she was, because she's going to get there a few minutes late and sneak out before anybody can talk to her much. You ever met any of them? She's not real open and don't want anybody to get real close. You know how some of them are. And Kathy was one of the first ones down to the altar Friday night. Spirit of God hit her and she began to cry and she began to shout. And, I mean, the Lord was just a moving on her and them tears are flowing. I heard her say, Lord, help me. God, I've got to have your help. Lord, I need your help. I'm sure that when she went home Friday, the situation was not well. I'm sure that when she went home, he threatened to leave her. He probably threatened to walk out on her. He may have abused and hit and beat on her. I don't know. But I do know when Saturday night rolled around, I got worried. Kathy wasn't at church. Kathy was not there. And the situation seemed hopeless. I thought, oh, I hope that she's not gave up. I hope she's not turned her back. But on this Sunday morning, just a few hours ago, the doors opened during Sunday school about 20 minutes late, and I seen Kathy walking down with a big old smile on her face. I thought, what in the world is she so happy about? I thought she had a rough home life. I didn't think she was going to be able to come back, and here she comes with the smile on her face, and behind her just a few steps was that husband of hers walking in to the back of the church. He never prayed this morning, but I seen him stand, and he began to clap his hands. I seen him smile and nod his head. And I want to tell you something. Yeah, the answer may not have totally come this morning, but oh, I'm glad that God hears our prayers. I'm glad that God sees our tears. I'm glad that God cares about us. I'm glad that God knows how to work in every situation. I want to tell you here, Mama, your child is not saved. Your heart is broken. You're heavy and you're torn up. You've prayed and you've cried. And you sought God. I'm telling you today, you just hold on to God. The Lord has saw your tears. The psalmist said in the sixth verse, I'm weary with my groaning. And all the night I make my bed to swim. If you're like most people, or like a lot of people, the majority of folks can put on that false front during the day. I mean, they're no more happy when they go to work. When they come to church, you know good and well they're not as up as they try to seem. You shake their hands, how you doing? I'm doing fine. When you know the whole time, inside they're broken. Yeah. The psalmist says here, all the night, I know the Bible don't tell us this, but can I just imagine for a little while? He probably went about his daily chores the same way we did. They probably knew he had problems, and maybe some of them friends of his would come up and say, "How's things working out for you?" And the psalmist in his optimism and in his faith in God may have said, "I'm doing fine. I'm looking up. The Lord's going to help me." And all day long he's going about believing God, and he's going about trusting God, and he's trying to go about doing his daily business and doing his chores, doing everything he's got to do, tie up some loose ends around the home. But now he's got to come back. He's got to shut the door to his house, and he's got to isolate himself from the world. It's just him now, and here he is at home. And when there's nobody else around him to lift his spirits, there's nobody around him to sing songs, there's nobody around him to preach sermons, there's nobody around him to pat him on the back and say, "You can make it." There's nobody there to tell him, "Well, God helped me through that same situation, and God touched me in that same valley. I was right there where you..." There was nobody there for that. The psalmist now is all by himself at his home where he lives, and he walks down that long corridor. He goes into his bedroom and he tries to go to sleep. He tries to lay down, but we notice here that sleep does not come. For he said, "All the night long I make my bed to swim. I'm by myself now. I'm here with just me and my problems, just me and my situation, and I'm crying, and my bed is swimming. I mean, there's tears all over my bed. I'm tormented. I'm tossing and I'm turning. I mean, I'm thinking about it, and the devil's playing tricks on my mind, and I just can't seem to get over this, and I just can't seem to do any better." And so you know what the psalmist does? He gets out of his bed and he says, "I can't lay here anymore. I can't lay in this bed and think about my problem." And so the psalmist walks back down that long hallway. I don't know if he chose to stay awake. I don't know if he tried to rest when he got there. But he comes back to his couch. Sleep never came. Rest for the weary never arrived. His problem didn't get better. Hey, great God. We lose some folks in the house of God. You know why? Because they are here and they're expecting instantaneous moves of God. And when it don't happen, we lose them. I'm going to tell you something, friend. The greatest victories that you will ever encounter is those that we waited on. Amen. Amen. The greatest shout that you will ever enjoy is the one that you experience when you come out of that lowest, darkest, loneliest, vile valley that you ever... That's the greatest shout you'll ever experience. You know what? The greatest sermon that a preacher will ever preach is the one that he preaches right directly after he comes out of that valley. The greatest song that that song leader will ever sing is the one that they sing when God brings them up out of that valley. Oh my, I want to be like the writer when he said, "I will arise." Praise God. I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm not going to let it knock me down. But I'm going to get up from where I'm at. I'm not going to let it worry me. I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm going to get over my situation. But he goes back to his couch. And in the living room of the psalmist, in a house where no rest can be found, in a home where we do not know every one of their problems. I want to tell you, there's folks right here in this church that look happy. But if you knew their problems, yeah, great God, have mercy. Man, maybe I should have preached and got us happy. Hey. He walked back to his couch and he sat on the couch thinking, if I can just get up from here, if I can just get out of here, maybe things will start to look up. And so he walks over to his couch. Here, hold this for me, brother. He walks over to his couch. He's already cried till he can't cry. He walks over to his couch and he sits down and he gets himself a seat. And things may go okay for the first few minutes, but then all of a sudden he breaks. He breaks. He cannot seem to conquer it. I mean, his nerves is now on edge. You know what? We got people in our churches today, in our holiness churches. Lord, help me. Why I'm a fixing to say what I'm going to say, I have no idea. But we got people in our holiness churches today that are fighting. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, because that is not the case. But we got people in our holiness churches today that has got such nerve condition that it is not even funny. I mean, the devil has tormented them, and the devil has worked on them, and the devil has abused them to the point that they just cannot seem to get over it. I mean, everybody else is a shouting, and they just can't seek to do anything but cry. I mean, everybody else has got victory. I mean, I know it don't always have. You understand what I'm saying? And the devil tries to torment their soul. We had a young man in our church. And I mean, he's a talented young man. God helped him and God used him. But he got to the point where he couldn't do anything but cry. There ain't nothing wrong with crying. No, sir. We're going to show you that here in a little bit. There ain't nothing wrong with crying. Every once in a while, it's our only resource and we have to do it. Man, I've cried more than, I've cried my fair share at times. I'm telling you. I mean, I shut myself up and just cried and didn't know what I was crying for. I just cried. You ever done that? Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you something, friend. Hey, the devil was tormenting him, and the devil was playing tricks on him. And you know what the devil likes to do? I mean, just as soon as you get to where you got an experience with God, and it seems like you're really going to get over the mountain this time, the devil tries to bring back your past. Amen. He tries to remind us what we were, who we were, where we went, what we've done. I want to tell you something, friend. That ain't nothing. If that's happening to you tonight, that ain't nothing but a trick of the enemy. You tell him, you get behind me, Satan. The past is exactly that. It is past. I'm not the man I was. I'm not the woman I was. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, the Lord sees your tears. He said, I watered my couch. I literally am about to go crazy. What am I going to do? How am I going to get help? I mean, it's coming down around me, man. What's going to happen? I have tried. I mean, I have put on the face. I have smiled around everybody. I've tried not to let anybody know. I went home. I can't sleep. I toss and I turn. I mean, I do everything in the world that I know possible. And finally, I get back up out of my bed. And I think, what's the use to even try to lay down and go sleep? And I walk back to my couch. And when I got to my couch, I just bawled like a baby. I mean, I could not help it. I mean, I just couldn't help it. Oh, I want to tell you something. Hey, good news is coming here just a little while. For the psalmist says, just one verse later, or just two verses later from me, I mean, he's crying. He is on his couch. His bed is made to swim. His couch is covered with tears. And obviously, the devil is fighting him. But somewhere in the midst of all the heartbreak, somewhere in the midst of all them tears, somewhere in the midst of that valley, amen, psalmist looks up, yeah, and he says, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Praise God. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my
cry weeping. Hey, psalmist, you can't sleep at night. You're in your bed crying. You're on your couch crying. What are you going to do? Depart from me. Get away from me. The Lord has heard my cries. The Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord is going to move. And God is going to help me. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. Amen. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed.
Right.
There ain't no wonder Kathy McNichols, on a Sunday night, can be as happy as she's probably ever been in her entire life. Yeah. The devil's a whispering in her ear, telling her, your husband never prayed. He ain't ever gonna pray. Oh, when I see her, I can't wait to tell her. You just look back at him and tell him, the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. No, he hadn't. He never, yeah, he did. I mean, that's the same man saying, I never talked in that church door just 3 days ago. Yeah.
Come on, don't you tell me God don't answer.
Come on now, preach.
Hey.
Right.
Hey. I'm telling you tonight. Man. I wish, oh how I wish, that I knew your situation and I could just come back to where you was at and tell you it's going to be okay.
Come on,
I mean, that mama that sits about where my wife's at in our church, I mean, almost in the very back on this side, her son that is 28 years old, left home 3.5 years ago. He ain't called his mother. They've not heard from him in over 3.5 years. I mean, not on, she said Christmas and Thanksgiving and Mother's Day and Father's Day. Just, it's pitiful around their house. I mean, she'll come to church and she'll cry. That boy's lost and he's deep in sin. I mean, if you knew some of the things he is doing, it's just, it's pitiful. But that's still that mama's child. That's still that mother's baby. That's still that mama's boy. And I mean, you'll see her. And when some folks, and I hope you don't take this wrong because you've seen people do it too. But I mean, when some folks have just threw in the towel on that situation, it'll never get any better. There's still a mama that I'll guarantee you when she shuts her door at night, makes her bed to swim. There's still a mama that paces the floor and comes back to her couch and cries and cries and wonders if God will ever hear the voice of her weeping. Yeah, I guarantee you. Oh, that the devil's probably told her, you don't need to pray for Norman anymore. Norman will never pray. Norman's gone. He's backslid forever. I've got him now. He's so deep entrenched and mired in sin that there ain't no hope for him. But you know what that mama does? Almost every service, she'll break and she'll cry. We'll take a prayer request and she'll say, pray for my boy. Pray for my boy. Pray for my boy. Oh, God sees them tears. There's a young preacher. Just went to Georgia with us about 4 or 5 weeks ago. My mother-in-law was bad and had to have surgery. My wife had to stay home. We had scheduled to preach a few nights down there and he went with me. They fired him from his job because he's a preacher. A good boy. He wouldn't get involved in the activities of that place and so they dismissed him. We rode down the road and that boy that you'd never think would ever shed a tear. I mean, you think some of us would be, y'all see this? Lester looked over and said, I've got 2 babies and a wife. I had to move in with my mother-in-law. I'm about to lose everything I got. And I'm trying to preach. And I'm trying to serve God. And I'm doing everything I know. And I don't have no prospects. Everywhere I go, they tell me they don't need me. I'm either too qualified or I'm either not qualified enough. And it just don't seem like it's ever going to get any better. I don't know if anything will ever work out for me. Oh, would ever get any better? I heard him. I'd go to bed. We'd go to bed real late. They had a two-bedroom evangelist quarters. And I was on one end of the hall and he's on the other end of the hall. And we'd go to bed about 1:30 every morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning. I was woke up that second night, about 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, still barreling. And crying, and I heard him say, "Oh God, Lord, you've got to hear my prayer, God. Lord, are you ever going to hear me? Are you ever going to answer my prayer, God? Lord, I need you. God, I have to have you. God, I need your help. Will you ever come by my way?" Wednesday, he come in at revival. He said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" He said, "I got a job." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know." He said, and the fellow that goes to our church, and he hired him, and he hired this boy. I said, he said, "We do heat and air conditioning. We are pressure cleaners." He's got 2 or 3 businesses, and he hired me. I said, "Do you know what you're doing?" He said, "I sure don't, but I'll learn. Yeah, I want to tell you something, friend. Your answer may not come how you want, and it may not come when you want, but I want to tell you, God has heard the voice of your weeping here at the Shadeville Church of God. Who am I talking to here tonight? Could it be a mama? Could it be a daddy? Could it be a husband? Could it be a wife? Hey, I don't know. Could it be someone without a job? Could it be somebody that's got disturbing news about their health? I don't understand why I'm a preaching when I'm a preaching, but I'm a telling you, God has heard and God has saw your tears.
Come on now.
Sister Perry, one of the finest women you'll ever meet in your life. 58 years old. Foster mother. She had already raised several kids. Her boy's our youth leader. After her kids was grown, she became foster mom. She's got 5 right now. As fine of a woman as you'll ever meet, Sister Perry. She'd been having problems. Her stomach. Everything she ate would come up. She's sick and she got weak and they run blood tests. They done everything they could do. Finally, she went to the doctor 2 weeks ago, and they told her, said, Miss Perry, whatever they called her, said, "We hate to give you the news. We know it's disturbing." Said, "But you've got lymphoma, and it's already down into your stomach, and there's nothing we can do." Dad was out of town. She called. We went and prayed for her. I talked to her on the phone. She was all upbeat, Brother Nichols. Everything's going to be okay. It's all going to be all right. The Lord's going to help me. God's going to heal me. Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about me. God's going to send revival. I went over to her house a few days later and I was praying for her. She never broke down and bawled, but I could see them tears coming out of the corner of her eyes. And she began to weep and cry and she began to shake at her and say, "God, I've served you all these years, Lord. God, would you please heal me? God, would you please touch me, Lord? Please, God. Lord, would you please, please, please." The next day she had to go in for her test and she had to go in for the CAT scans. We was there in the hospital with her. About 10 minutes later, they sent her on her way. I said, "Boy, that's awful quick." And she said, "Well, I don't understand it, but they're gonna call me back Monday." And we started revival last Sunday. And I called her Monday about 12 o'clock. And I mean, she cried all weekend trying for God to meet her need. "Lord, would you please help me?" I called her Monday. I said, "Sister Perry, this is Brian. Have you got any news?" And I heard her go, "Wow!" I said, "Something wrong?" She said, "Oh, they called me today and said my breath test came back fine and said all the cancer's gone. God's totally healed me. They don't see anything wrong with me. The Lord has come by and touched my need and the Lord has come by and healed my body." I want to tell you something, friend. God saw, if nobody else saw her, God saw them tears on her bed. God saw them tears on her couch. Them ones that she tried to hold back that was creeping out of the corner edge of her eye. God saw them tears, and finally he heard the voice of her weeping and he stretched his mighty hand down out of heaven and said, "Yes!"
Right.
I don't know what you're here in need of. And I'm fixing to close. Oh my. Oh. Your heads is bowed. I don't do this often. But you're here tonight. Maybe the whole church knows your situation. And maybe nobody knows but you. But when there ain't nobody else around, them tears have got awful bitter. Them tears has got awful hard. It's hard for you to get into the service like you once did. Oh, you're still coming. You're still as saved as you ever was. You're still as close to God as you ever were, but you can't get over the problem. Amen. Maybe it's lost family. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's financial situation. I don't have no idea. Oh, preacher, you should have come in here tonight and done something different. Ah, you're probably right. I got to do what I feel like God's dealt with me today. I may be preaching to 10. I may just be preaching to you. Whoever I'm a preaching to, God dealt with this preacher on the way up to tell you, I have saw your tears. I have heard the voice of your weeping. And God is going to move in your situation. You're here tonight, and you could slip your hand and say, preacher, I've been going through things that nobody knows. I've been facing situations. And in my bedroom and on my couch and in my car and when nobody else is around, I've watered my couch. I've made my bed swim. And you're here and you could raise your hand and say, preacher, I need help from God tonight. Can I see your hand? Yes. Yes. Yes.